Blog Talk Radio.
This is my testimony, everybody. How God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words. Love is felt most.
Love is felt most when it's genuine.
You
are.
I had my share of love abuse. Manipulated.
Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier. We come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and your forgiveness of our sins. Father God, such a wonderful God, that you care so much for us, that you would send your only begotten Son, that we may have life and have it more abundantly, Father God, life that would give us eternity with you. Father God, I thank you that this day you've given us your breath and your strength. This day that you've given us, you've given us your armor. This day that you have given us, Father God, you've given us your joy. This day that you have given us, Father God, you've given us your peace. This day you have given us, Father God, you've given us your hope for the future. This is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice. Be glad in it. Father God, as I get ready to go forward, I pray for every person on the line who is listening to the sound of my voice, that I as an individual will decrease, you, Father God, through the Holy Spirit, will increase big in me, that will bring all things to my remembrance, that the words that be said, Father God, will touch or pierce the heart, Father God. They will have ears to hear. And as they have ears to hear, Father God, I ask you, Father God, they become doers and not just hearers. I ask you, Father God, that they have faith in you, Father God, that they will step out in boldness with courageous attitude, Father God, to go forward like John Baptist and let the world know that Jesus is coming. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you continue to show us each day that you never will ever, ever, ever leave us or forsake us. I thank you, Father God. And as I go forward, Father God, I ask you, again, the words that I said, Father God, will help somebody, because somebody out there, Father God, needs you right now. They need your love, they need your grace, they need your mercy, they need your strength, they need you, Father God, in every step of the way as they go through their journey in life. We know, Father God, that you love us all. But you know the ins and outs and the working of each individual, what they're crying out for, Father God, in their secret closet, in their times where they feel alone and lost. You know what they need. We as people don't. We don't know what each of us present. But, Father God, you know the hearts of many. We ask you, Father God, to bless them in a way, Father God, that they only can do one thing. They can run back like the man did with a heel 10 and say, thank you. And then, Father God, they'd be so excited, they would go out and tell somebody the good news that you have done for them. I ask you this, Father God, in Jesus' holy name, I thank you for hearing this prayer. I thank you for listening to this prayer. And, Father God, I thank you for answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited to be here again. You know, it is a blessing to be able to talk about God. Of all the things in the world to talk about, this is the greatest thing to talk about. And to be able to do it with freedom. But we know freedom don't come free. But we're able to do it. So I'm excited to share God's good news that he gave me this week. And hopefully it will be beneficial. I have hope that it will be beneficial and help you move forward in your walk so you can continue to stay in the ring and fight a good fight of faith. The quote for the day is, service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. Muhammad Ali. Give real service, you must add something which cannot be bought or measured with money, and that is authenticity and integrity. Douglas Adams. And whoever renders service to many puts himself in line for greatness. Great wealth, great return, great satisfaction, great reputation, and great joy. You know, that's the joy that only God can give. Jim Ross. And the scripture tells us in Mark 10:4-5, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom to me. That's us people. And then in Luke 22:27, for who is greater? He who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as I as the one who serves. Hallelujah. So I'm going to tell you a story about a gentleman that tells this to his friends about three marbles. During the declining years of the Great Depression in a small southeastern community in Idaho, he talks about he used to stop by a gentleman's roadside stand that sold his produce as the season would permit. Food and money were very extremely scarce, and bartering was used extensively. One particular day, Mr. Miller was bagging up some potatoes for me. I noticed a small boy, delicate of bones and features, ragged but clean, passionately appraising a basket of fresh chicken peas. Now, you know that's got to be tough, but I can't even imagine kids, they even care about green peas. Now, he had a passion and was admiring this basket. And he said he paid for the data, but was also drawn to the display of the fresh green peas. He said, I'm a push of green peas potatoes. Pondering the peas, he couldn't help but overhear the conversation between Mr. Miller and the ragged boy next to him. And the boy says, hello, Mr. Miller. Mr. Miller says, hello, Barry. How are you doing today? And he says, hello, Mr. Miller. Fine. Thank you. Just admiring them green peas. They sure look good. They are good, Barry. How's your mom? Fine. Getting strong all the time? Good. Anything I can help you with? No, sir. Just admiring them peas. Would you like to take them home? No, sir. Got nothing to pay for them. Well, what do you have to trade with me for those seeds? All I got is my prize marble here. Now, this is telling time, because I remember playing marbles. I haven't seen kids play marbles in God knows when. He said, is that right? Let me see it. Here, sir, she's a dandy. I can see. Only thing is, this one is blue, and I sort of go for the red. Do you have a red one like this at home? Not exactly, but almost. Tell you what. Take a sack of peas home with you, and on your next trip back here, let me look at that red marble. Sure will. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Miss Miller, who had been standing nearby, came over to help me. And with a smile, said, we got two other boys like him in our community. All three are in very poor circumstances. Him loves bargaining with them for peas, apples, tomatoes, whatever. When they came back with their red marble, they always do, he decides he doesn't like red after all and sends them home with a bag of produce for green marbles or orange or perhaps whatever color they can bring. I left the stand smiling to myself. A short time later, I moved to Colorado, but I never forgot the story of this man and the boys and the bartering. Several years went by, each more rapid than the previous. Just recently, I had occasion to visit some old friends in that Idaho community while I was there. I learned that Mr. Miller died. They were having his viewing, and that evening, knowing my friends wanted to go, I agreed to accompany them. Upon our arrival at the funeral, well, we fell into the line to the relatives of the deceased, offered what kind words we could for comfort. Ahead of us in the line, three young men. One was in an army uniform, and the other two wore nice haircuts, dark suit, white shirt, very professional looking. They approached Mr. Miller, standing solid and composed by her husband's casket. Each young man hugged her, kissed her on the cheek, spoke briefly with her, and moved to the casket. Her misty light blue eyes followed him as one by one, each young man stopped briefly and placed his own warm hand on the cold, pale hand in the casket. each left the funeral parlor awkwardly wiping his eyes. Our turn came to meet Miss Miller. I told her who I was, and Miller story and told me about the marbles. She took my hand and led me to the casket. Those three young men who just left a boys, I told you. They just told me how they appreciated the things Jim traded them. Now, at last, when Jim changed his mind about the couple of sides, they came to pay the debt. We never had great deal of wealth of this world, she confided. But right now, Jim would consider himself the richest man in Idaho. With loving gentleness, she lifted the lifeless finger of her deceased husband. Underneath was three beautifully shining red marks. And more of the story. We will not be remembered totally by our words, but more by our deeds. Life is not measured by the breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath as we help others. The scripture tells us in James 2:1, faith without works is dead. Our show for today is, are we here to serve or to be served? The question is a profound one because it challenges most society views because the world standpoint is we want to be served. I quote Dan Horkow, who says, the measure of greatness in the kingdom of God differs vastly from that of the world. Our society idolizes the rich, the powerful, the beautiful, and the athletic. We even make celebrity out of those who boldly flaunt their immorality. The world created it mean to serve others. However, God's kingdom completely rejects the world's measure of for esteem, giving the greatest honor to one who serves most. The person who serves selflessly, lovingly, without complaint, without seeking self-recognition, is highly regarded in the kingdom of God. Each day I live to walk with Christ, where my desire is to spiritually mature to the point that I truly exercise the heart and mind of Christ. My heart seems to notice more on our self-seeking, self-serving views and behaviors and our lifestyle. I seem to get a clear sense of our attitude, that sense of priority, envy, keeping record of wrong each day, what we want, what we desire, what we believe we need. Even our needs are really our desires. Then I ask the question, why do we conduct or think this way? Well, let's start with a few stories in the Bible. But I want to take you to, and you will hear me say this quite often, I want to take you back to Corinthians, because everything you're going to be doing, or you should be based on this, love. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 says, and I'm going to say this because I have learned through the course of my own journey, we don't have a clear, precise meaning of love. We say words that we just kind of flaunt around, almost like shooting marbles. We just bouncing them off each other. Do we have meaning? Well, God understood through his word, it was important that we understand the meaning of love. And I talked about it in one of my previous shows, about the variations of love, the basic core meaning that you don't have to get into Eros and Thorgay and Philippa and all these other ones. You just have to get the basic meaning that Paul wrote about here in Corinthians. He says love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easy anger. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil. It's in truth, God's. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always preserves. And you know the greatest thing about love? It never fails. It never fails. Hallelujah. So let me share a few stories here about serving. In Genesis 4:2-9, here we get a biblical account of two brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were first and second son of Adam and Eve. Now Cain was a farmer, and Abel was a skilled shepherd who took care of the family animal. Now I emphasize, took care. He did something to take care of others, even though it was in the lowercase animal kingdom. One day, Cain and Abel made a sacrifice to the Lord to worship and thank him. Cain brought some of the produce from the land, while Abel brought the firstborn of his sheep. Now, God showed favor to Abel's sacrifice because it was an offering that came from the best Abel had to give. It came from the heart. I'm reminded of a story of a woman who basically gave her last, and Jesus talked about it was the best gift because it was the best he had to give because it was from the heart. However, Cain got upset, was angry and jealous. What is this about? Self-seeking and self-serving attitude. Cain lured his brother Abel into the field, killed him with a rock. Then the Lord called Cain and asked what happened. After Cain lied about killing his brother, then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" Cain replied, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" I saw a movie one time with Wesley Snipes. I think it was called New Jack City. And they had a saying between two brothers who weren't really brothers. The question was, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the other one looked at him and asked, "Wasn't okay to take his life?" He said to him, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Abel and Cain story in modern day movie. And unfortunately, Wesley Snipes lost sight because his self-serving self-attitude got in the way. That's oppositional to the basic understanding that we just read about love. Are we a brother's keeper? Should we take care of each other? Should we be concerned only about ourselves, our family, our immediate circle? Well, Arsenio Hall would say things that they can go through. See, James 4:1, what caused fight and quarrel among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? The desires, the wants, your perceived needs are all a conflicting thing because it's all about flesh. It conflicts with the spirit. You desire, but you do not have. You kill jealousy and envy. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. That's what we send us tonight today with social uproar, racism, rioting, abuse, everything is all about self-gratification and self-seeking, not about serving, not about serving. As we see the people doing their thing out there, and they're rioting and looting and saying these terrible things to each other, this is not what love looks like. The reason we see a high percentage is because love does not desire in heart. And I spoke again that the word tells us that the heart is everything. It's spoken 800-something times. It says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Always make God the last resort because of our foolish pride. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask wrong motives. See, Cain's mother was wrong. That you may spend what you get on your own pleasures, self-seeking, self-gratifying, pride, and all those other entities, if you will, is all about us. It's not to serve, it's to be served. So he said, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means hostility against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be friends of the world become the enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture said without reason that he jealously longed for the spirit he has caused to dwell in you? But he gives us more grace. Your love and your grace and your mercy. That's shouting ground right there. His grace and his mercy. Paul said sufficient. That is why the scripture says, God opposed the proud. Again, love is not proud. But shows favor to the humble. Someone said to me one time, they said, "Oh, David, so humble." And the person got worked on. Why they always got to say that? Why they always got to say that? Keep putting you down. I didn't come in because I knew humility was a great attribute. And I kept it moved. But I understand because they had not operated or had the view what God or Jesus was trying to show us about humility. But we'll talk about that. So then it says, submit yourself. Then God resists the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he'll come near you. Wash your hands, you sinner, and purify again your heart. double-minded. See, Matthew tells us in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And see, mammon is us, serving the flesh. And we understand that the flesh is always at odds with the spirit. As I went through my earlier journey, I was more preoccupied with my flesh compared to the concept that most people present to you as mind, body, and spirit. Spirit will always last. But we see, we know now that God is a spirit, and God is love. The flesh should be last, because the flesh is nothing but a house. Even if you're in your home right now, apartment, where you are, it is just a building. As right now the churches are closed, we're finding out that the Spirit of God still resides within us, not in the building. But we get caught up in the building, which is this house. See, it is difficult to serve two masters. It is challenging to be single-minded world that promotes self-gratification, self-indulgence, and self-importance without the help of the Holy Spirit. And see, Jesus did nothing without the Holy Spirit. He did absolutely nothing. See, this was amazing. That is God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God gave Jesus the Holy Spirit while he was in this physical body, this house, this mammal, in order that he could still accomplish the will of God and be victorious. Yet we got to see, as Jesus walked his journey, that he was still bombarded with the same challenges that we had. And while he validated that he was in the wilderness, as it began, he was bombarded with anything you could think of: hunger, suicide, the temptation, all the things that the world offered. But he told Satan, it is written. It is written. He let him know that he was only going to do the will of God. But see, the world doesn't promote this. It's become almost impossible to serve with a sincere heart that is holy and acceptable to God without the Holy Spirit. We can see this with Cain's motive versus Abel's serving heart. So let's get another story. The parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10:25-37. On one occasion, the expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. They always do, because this is about pride. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I'm going to repeat that one more time. Love the Lord with your God with all your heart, the heart is first, with all your soul, will, mind, emotion, and with all your skin, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I talked about it earlier about the meaning of love. See, again, we're not talking about the external gratification of eros. We're talking about the love inside the heart of the Spirit. The new spirit that we get saved, that we will renew. Old things pass away, and now we become new. And it's a building process. You see, so it becomes easier to love that neighbor when you love yourself. But if you don't have a definition to even understand how to love yourself, how can you love your neighbor? And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. Jesus replied, do this and you will live. He wanted to justify himself. Pride, just in again, opposite of love. So he asked Jesus, and who are my neighbors? That's a good question, because many times we don't see anyone as our neighbor. We see the neighbor by definition. If you're a kid and they gave you this little book, you get a neighbor on your left or your right, or you're living on your block. And in reply, Jesus said, a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away and left him half dead. The priest, the leader, right, happened to go down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, and Levi, and he came to the place, saw him, and passed by on the other side. I've seen people do this. I still remember a situation when I was in Chicago, and a young man was sitting there with his dog. And me and my friend, we gave him some money, and we were talking to him. And you heard comments of, I hope he ain't abusing that dog. Why don't he get a job? How can he have a dog and he can't take care of himself? They passed him, and they knew nothing. Made judgment. And Chicago's a big place. It's fighting. Lots of stores. Oh, my goodness. Lots of stores on Michigan Avenue. Lots of stores. So, again, self-gratification, self-importance, self-indulgence. But they couldn't help the man sitting there with a dog. And he replied to us, all I want to do is feed my dog. That's all I want to do. But the Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wound. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him into an inn, took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Jesus asked these three, do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? The expert in law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. See, Jesus, now he says it verbally that you need to go and do likewise. You need to recognize your servant. Jesus is telling us that our servant is who? Are they the homeless on the street, the sick and the shut in, the poor? Now, these individuals we may be willing to serve, but what about murder? What about the adulterer? What about the drug addict just broke their home? What about the racist? And let me talk about racism, just racism for a minute. See, there are some shows, and I don't seem to always be too popular because I don't get too caught up in the idea that only black lives matter. And I say this, and I'm going to keep saying this, because Jesus did not define race. This is a house. And if you take every race on this planet, which really every ethnic group, but it is, and you put them in the incinerator, and you pull them out, they go, they're going back to dust. It is the spirit that we need to be focused on. And why we have this division, because as long as we segregate, we're going to be divided. As long as we're divided, we come together. And as I always say, no house can stand divided. None. So we will always have this. The people who execute racism, they're the individual who have a problem. They are the individual who have a problem. If we join into the same concept that blacks are more important, whites are more important, we are all exercising the same thing, which is nothing but sin, because we are not loving our neighbor. I did not say anything about a race, creed, or color when it comes down to loving our neighbor. So do you serve your neighbor? Can you serve your neighbor? There are people with bad attitudes no matter who we encounter, in any race, any place we go in the world. They are distorted or compromised mentally, emotionally. There's so many damaged people. Why? Because we go back to the beginning, which was love. If you don't have love in your heart, you will execute these kind of behaviors and attitudes. We have to wake up, people, and recognize that God does not want us to be divided. God wants us to unite. So let me bring it to perspective. We all say we want to go to heaven. When we get to heaven, are we going to be preoccupied with what color man is? Because it won't be no color of man. I don't hear nothing in the Bible read, nothing about there's going to be a white man and a black man and an Arab man and a Chaldean man and a China man. Ain't going to be none of that. None of that. When Jesus came back, he came in a glorious body, pure as white as snow. Hallelujah. That's what I'm looking for. There won't have to be no more tears. There won't have to be no more sorrow. There won't have to be no more pain and suffering because man is executing his selfish, self-seeking behavior. This is what God is trying to pull us away from. This is why I say do everything in love. And if we recognize the same behavior that the people perpetrating the abuse, the sin, we're no different than them. We're supposed to love everyone. We don't have to like the behavior. And I can't find a person on this planet can lay there without sin. Because back to the story of the woman, we recognize that at the end of the day, at the end of the day, she was not acknowledged by her adultery in the sense of being judged. She was not recognized that way. She was recognized as a child of God, and she loved him. So let me tell you that story. So in John 8 through 11, teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses said to stone her. Everybody want to hurt somebody else, but do they want to be hurt for the sin they commit? And he said, what do you say? They're trying to trap him to say something that they could use against him. Self-service, self-seeking, self-importance, and pride. But Jesus cool. He cool. He like Morris Day. He just cool. But Jesus stooped down, wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. Oh, you going to tell us something. So he stood up again and said, oh, but let the one who has never sinned, he said, let the one that's never committed a murder, let the one who never committed adultery, let the one who never lied, let the one who never cheated, let the one who never cussed, fussed, drank, did everything under the sun, throw the first stone. I don't think so. If I'm reading it right, I got my glasses on. He said, but let the one who never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and rolled it to the dust. He cool. He cool. When the accuser heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning the oldest, old school, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Look at that. Accusers. Accusers are abusers. If you got no facts that sustain yourself and supports it with the love of God, you can be an abuser. But if you don't have all the details, you're just running on half information, half truths. But Jesus is trying to say, did even one of them condemn you? Wait, not some bad boys. They're the leaders of the community. They know the word. They know the law. Well, I say they know the law because they quoted to Jesus early on. But he looked up and she said, no, Lord. She said, and Jesus said, now this is the sweetness of our Lord. This is the grace shown in his fullness. This is love at its best. I keep no record of wrong, neither do I. Go and sin no more. So now she would go away, being in this fleshly body. As I understand it, she goes to strive. She now get on the right path to strive, as Paul would say, to work towards the perfection of spiritual maturity in order for her to be able now to sin no more, or at least sin less, and probably definitely not do that one again. Hallelujah. We can see that Jesus didn't present his pride or keep record of wrong, but he did serve as the model of forgiveness. Not self-seeking, but self-serving. No attitude or behavior of the religious leader who was self-serving to their ego and their superficial religious presentation. How Jesus shows us that when it comes to being a servant, you don't come to condemn. Hallelujah. Are you here to be served or to serve? As the song say, the question is, now, let's look at his best through the eyes of Jesus as he served. In John 15:5, Jesus knew the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. Now, let's pause here. He had authority over everything. Now, we just talked about the religious leader who had a little authority, and look how cocky they were. Look how much pride they were displaying. Look how much proudness they were displaying. Look how self-seeking they were. Look how they were boastful. Look how they were. But he has the power over everything, yet we're going to see what's happening here. He got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped the towel around his waist, poured the water in the basin, then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. Now we know we done seen some, as we said, we done seen some dogs, and some dogs are just not pretty. Some people that got really lovely feet, but there are some folks that they're not the most, as they say, the most prettiest sight to see. But however, especially, and I've lived in these countries, so especially when you're walking in the sand and your feet is exposed to the elements every day, you don't have these nice fancy showers that pulse and push power, and you don't have this nice fragrance of soap and shampoo and all that. So them feet probably pretty rough, and they're probably literally rough. But Jesus didn't care. I've seen people, for myself, I went with family members to take care of their sick. And some of them couldn't do it. I'm not going to be able to do it. You got to do that, Dave. They couldn't do it. Could not take and get past themselves because they're self-serving. I'm putting them down because everybody has their limitations. But when you're walking in love, you get past you because it ain't about you. But let's go forward. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied. Now, Peter wasn't saying it like, "Hey, come and get me, dogs." No, he was saying, you don't do that. You don't do that. But Jesus replied, "You don't understand. Now, what I'm doing, but someday you will." No, Peter protests. "You will never wash my feet," Jesus replied. And Jesus replied, oh, my goodness. Humility at his best, servitude at his best, a servant leader at his best. "Unless I wash your feet, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, then wash my hands, my head as well, Lord, not just my feet. You want to get a bath, hook me up. Give me everything. Put the special sauce on. Make me smell good. Go on, Jesus. Put your mightiness on it. He was good to go in because he wants. This is the beautiful part about Peter. He at least wanted to make sure he was belonged to Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's what we should do. And Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for his feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean." And I know when we see this image, we think betrayal is this harsh thing that like Judas did. But betrayal is when we deny Jesus, when we do our thing, when we execute selfish service to ourselves. And since it goes back here and says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord, the teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash others' feet." This is what we're talking about. "Love thy neighbor as thyself. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." If you notice, each story always seemed to set the standard. He either commits to say, "Do as I have done, and go and do likewise." See, this goes back to the scripture earlier. Faith without works is dead. You see, as Christians, we like to refer ourselves as servants, but we are seldom content to be treated as servants. We are tempted to adopt the world's evaluation of self-importance. When we look to Jesus as our model, we see that it takes far more noble character to serve than to be served. The world will estimate your importance by the number of people serving you, but God is more concerned with the number of people you are serving. See, service is an action word. It's about expression from the heart. Service is about the act of love, the God agape type love. Again, the question is, are you here to serve or to be served? But go through your week, set a baseline from 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 8. I'm going to repeat it. Love is patient. Jesus exercised patience. Love is kind, always being kind. It is not envy, does not boast, it is not pride. Jesus never displayed any of those characteristics or attitudes. He didn't dishonor others. He didn't put the leaders who tried to trip him up down. He was not self-seeking. He didn't get easily angered. He didn't keep no record of wrong. We've seen this with the woman who was caught in adultery. See, love does not delight in evil, but rejoice in truth. See, God said his word that he is the way, the truth, and the life. If we want that abundant life, we have to follow his truth. And see, here's the deal. Love always protects. The Lord is always protecting us. Love always trusts. The Lord trusts God to ensure that when he executing God's will, that the thing that God has set forth which means that he would go down to hell and take back the key to set us free so we can have eternal life would be done. And love always has hope. He said that he gives us hope for the future and it always preserves. We will have eternity. Why? Because love never fails. We move into the second half of my show. I call it a soldier's perspective. Love is about selfless service. In the army, our work always seemed to have a baseline to start from, a standard, if you will, that one can always go back to in order to validate if we are moving in the most appropriate manner of which we are basically on the same page. Within each brand of the service, we have our own values. Now, within the army, we have seven, which governs our conduct, our attitude, and interaction with others. See, it's about that selfless service. And they are as follows. Lord, bear true faith and alliance to the United States Constitution, the Army, your unit, other soldiers. Duty, fulfill your obligation. We have an obligation to God, and we have an obligation to be loyal. Respect, treat people as they should be treated. And as the word said, that if we love our neighbors, we treat them with that respect. And then the fourth is selfless service. Put the welfare of the nation, the army, and your subordinates before your own. Jesus put his life before his own. And honor, living up to those army values. Jesus lived up to God's value. Integrity, always do what was reasonably right. And then personal courage, facing physical and moral danger, fear and adversity with courage. He did it. Face the giant with courage. He stood up to a physical presentation with a more a spiritual standard to stand up against the giant to go forward with the belief and the hope and the trust that God would preserve him to be able to overcome that giant. And God would get all the glory. And as I said, I like to point out one miracle that was my favorite, selfless service. This is truly important for me because it's what I saw my fellow soldiers battle, men and women in arms, display day in and day out on the battlefield. It was what meant most to us. Yes, we are serving our nation, but I say we serve the world. Why? Because we were serving each of our neighbors. When the bullets start flying, the rockets start coming in, the bombs go off, it's one for all for one. I know people watch TV, they have some idea of what war is like, but unless you in it, them little, not only some mean crowds, as they call them now, still call them, 4th of July, but they have no comparison to when them rockets and mortars are coming in. They leave holes that almost look like a whole city is gone. So in my battles, are willing to do what they got to do. They're not entertained in the race or rank. All you knew is that you were willing to exercise selfless service. You were willing to serve and not be served. You were willing to sacrifice your life, your limb for somebody else. Does this remind you of someone who himself bear our sins his body, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, for by his stripes we would be healed? Healed in the land, healed in the city, healed in our heart, healed in our spirit, healed in our body. Selfless service. Selfless service. So we have to recognize, people, that if we're going to really truly walk in the line of God, we're going to walk in his light, we're going to walk in his word, we're going to mature in his word, we're going to develop in his word, we're going to exercise his word, and we're going to carry his word, we got to be willing to exercise selfless service, presenting our body as a living sacrifice. It's not much of a sacrifice when you think about it, because it goes back to dust. If you get 125 years on this planet, or let's go, I think Methuselah was 900, it's a drop in the to eternity. So it would be wise of us to make sure that we strive every day, as Paul would say, our work towards the mark of perfection, to spiritually mature in order that we can serve others, that we can love God with all our mind, heart, and soul, and love our neighbors as ourselves. The question is, as I said earlier, are you here to serve or to be served? This is a soldier's perspective. And as we go through this, let me remind myself that selfless service is so key, so important. Why? Because once you exercise selfless service, what Jesus did, he set us free. He who he set free is free indeed. This is what we want, true freedom. Once we with God, even this planet, we know that's going to be the case. But why are we all better? If we keep our mind on thee, he will give us the perfect peace to stay centered on him. Because he says, I in them and thou, that thou may know that thou hast sent me and love them as if thou loved me. Jesus loved us. God loved us so much that he would send Jesus and make us one with him. This is where we want to go, people. Try as you go through the week. Go and look at 1 Corinthians 13. If you don't read the whole thing, 4 through 8 is good enough. To have a baseline for yourself, to know what love means. And if you see that you're not lined up with that, you have now a reference to turn to. If you find yourself getting jealous, you find yourself envying somebody, you find yourself keeping a record of wrong, you know you are aligned with love. And if you're out of line with love, you can't exercise self-service because you're too self-conscious and not Christ-conscious. Hallelujah. So yeah, I close out. I thank you again for listening, but there's a greater thing that's here, and that is prayer of salvation. None of the good news would be relevant to you unless you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you've got nothing else, you don't read nothing in the Bible, but you should. Romans 10:9 said, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus, believe in your heart, back to the heart, that God raised Jesus from the dead, that thou can be saved, you're one step ahead of drawing closer to God, and he'll draw closer to you. And as he draws closer to you, he will show you his love. He will show you how to love. He'll guide you in love, and he'll shower you with love. When you're in your lonely hour, if there was a couple days I was in my lonely hour, I was beat down to the socks, as they say on Andy Griffin. I was beat down to the socks. Satan was busy. He was in my head like nobody's business. I have PTSD to the worst way. But God told me to get up, go out to my prayer closet. My prayer closet is up. I live in an area where I have nothing but woods and parks and what have you, and I can walk to several parks. And I walked to something in the morning, and I cried out to God. I cried out to God. I said, help me, Lord. Help me. I'm in the battle. Satan is busy. He came to Jesus in the wilderness. He coming to me, and he asked me to take on things and try this. In my might, I can't do it. But in my might, I can do all things through Christ. After that 2.5-hour walk was over, I was recharged. Why? Because of his breath and his strength to pull me through. So you need, if you're searching for an answer, you don't have to search far. There's a Bible everywhere, even at a motel. And if you don't have one, there's someone to give you one. And if you've never read a book, the book you ought to read. Because it will give you what you need. He tells us, attend to my words. Incline thy ears to thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eye. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, so thou might find them and health to all their flesh. I don't know nothing better than that when it comes from the Creator himself. So he wants benefits, and God got a lot of them. And if nothing else, the world can't give you this. If nothing else, you know you love. And that right there, people, I will tell you, will carry you through the tough times, the good times, the bad times and any kind of times that you put us in, it will carry you through. I'm your host, Brother David, and I thank you for listening to the Spirit of the Soldier. Don't forget to go to thebillet.com and thebillet@gmail.com and make sure you listen to others who are sharing the good news of God. Because, again, it is good news. And it will help you because he who is free will be free indeed. Again, I'm your host, Brother David. Thank you for listening. And walk in love. Continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen.